Magandang tanghali po sa ating lahat. Ako po si Erickson Cruz at naglilingkod bilang isa sa mga elder ng iglesyang ito. Kung ito po ang siguro mga several times nyo na po na pag-attend sa iglesia na ito, we are continuing our series sa Book of Psalms. At ang ating pag-aaralan po ngayong hapon is sa Psalms 11. A couple of years ago, siguro mga dekada nang nakakalipas, may isang sikat na shoe brand na mayroong ganitong klaseng slogan. Who says you can't run away from your problems? Just do it. Yan. Alam ko, kabisado nyo yung logo na yon. Just do it. Because we live in a world that promotes the idea that you can run away from your troubles, na kaya mong takasan ang iyong mga problema. It is the same advice na sometimes maririnig natin sa mga psychiatrists, kaya sa mga psychologists, even sa mga kaibigan natin or relatives. Many promote the idea that instead of facing your problems, blame someone else. Or di kaya, just run away. Many will say, go off to some resort or retreat and forget about your problems. Mag-soul searching ka. Hanapin mo ang iyong sarili. Habang ang iba naman will get a prescription drugs or medication to be able to cope up sa kanilang mga problema. The basic premise of all of these ideas is to run away and escape. Many of you may say that you are in similar difficult situations or sometimes gusto mo na lang na maglaho. Your world is falling apart. Everything is crumbling around you. Things have taken an unexpected turn for the worse. So ngayong hapon na to, nawa ay masalamin natin na ang ating mga sarili dito sa passage ng Psalms 11. In trying situations na kinakaharap natin sa panahon ito, we can ask this question, what can we do? So gaya po ni David, he is facing a lot of difficulties. During his lifetime, meron po siyang maraming experiences under his belt. He was a shepherd boy ng kanyang tatay na si Jesse. At ang kanyang trabaho is to fend off yung mga beasts na nais na kumuha ng kanilang mga sheep. Then, nung kanyang paglaki, he had to face this giant warrior na si Goliath in which God had handed over the victory to him. We can speculate that this crisis na itong tinitingnan natin passage that he had this similar case na ano na siya ay tinutugis, no? We can say na itong passage na to is closely related sa kanyang experience na siya ay hinahabol ng kanyang father-in-law na si Haring Saul. So Saul was jealous of David because of his fame. While David is becoming more and more popular among the people, ang pagkaingit ni Haring Saul ay kay David ay lalong tumitindi. Si David naman becomes more successful in his campaigns in the battle, so that Saul was even more afraid of David. So King Saul was David's enemy continually. Makikita po natin yan sa Psalm chapter 18 verse 9. So nagtago po si David sa iba't ibang mga lugar, and in those kind of situations, David had in mind, kaya niya naisulat itong ganitong mga awit ng pagtitiwala o song of trust, trusting in the Lord. Kung kayo po ay nagsusulat ngayong hapon, ang main point po natin is, the Lord is sovereign and righteous, take refuge in Him. Ulitin ko po, the Lord is sovereign and righteous, take refuge in Him. So under po ng ating main point, meron po tayong dalawang observations. Una, the temptation to doubt the Lord, verse 1 to 3. Second is the reason to trust the Lord, verse 4 to 7. Point number one, the temptation to doubt the Lord. As the context suggests kanina that David is in a difficult situation or a crisis ng kanyang buhay, in which his life was placed in danger. In these verses, makikita natin that there are some factors in which pwede niyang pagdudahan ang kabutihan ng Panginoon. Let us zoom in muna sa verse 1 where David declares, "In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain?" Hindi madali para kay David ang mamuhay ng tahimik. This verse may imply na maaring wala siyang mapuntahan na ligtas na lugar sa kanyang bayan o matatagpuan ng mga kababayan niya na pwedeng sumaklolo sana sa kanya. It may also suggest na ang situation na ito may cause him to be afflicted with an overwhelming stress. Na kung haayaan na magbunga ito, it may cause him to distrust the Lord. At that time, David was advised to flee or pagtakas. Sa Hebrews translation, ang the word flee ay nasa plural form, which means na hindi lamang siya ang pinapatakas nila, maging ang mga kasama niya na may similar na situation kagaya niya. Now, ang lugar na sinasabi ng passage that your mountain ay hindi isang particular na lugar na kung saan pwede siyang magtago, but it implies to many places na pwede niyang puntahan at any given chance. Ito ang situation na meron siya. That men will go after him, will reject him, and chase him away. Mali po ba na tanggapin ni David ang advice na tumakas siya? Mali po ba na i-preserve niya ang kanyang buhay? Is it wrong na umiwas siya sa kapahamakan or isang sitwasyon sa mga tao na magpapahamak sa kanya? Mababasa natin sa ibang passages ng scripture that David was chased from place to place. At kadalasan mababasa natin that siya po ay nagtatago sa mga yungib at kuweba. Para siyang isang ibon na pilit na hinahunting, tinutugis, na parang ibon na iwas ng iwas sa mga kaaway niya, palipat-lipat ng lugar. This passage tells us that despite of his situation, David did not give in into fear. Hindi siya bumigay sa takot or pangamba. Nakita ni David na itong advice na ito was aimed at his heart upang ligligin ang kanyang pagtitiwala sa Diyos. Mababasa din natin sa verse 2 na ipinakita or ibinahagi ni David sa awit na ito na siya ay exposed sa mga kapahamakan. Siya ay exposed sa kamatayan mismo. Inilarawan niya na kahit saan man siya magtago, it is humanly impossible na matakasan niya itong mga ito. It is only the Lord that he can rely on. At ano naman kaya ang ibig sabihin ni David sa verse 3 when he said, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" May mga several interpretations po para dito sa verse 3. For example, may mga ilan that would understand foundations that refer to the covenant relationship between the king at ang kanyang mga nasasakupan, wherein yung king supposed to be ruling rightly, justly, and with integrity. Pero ang king na to, si King Saul, violated it. The moral foundations of these nations are crumbling. Ito po ang argument ni David, that he was treated with cruelty. May injustice na nangyari sa kanya. Nawala na siyang kalayaang mamuhay sa bansa niya. What can the righteous do? Nevertheless, he comforted himself sa kanyang crisis dito. For his testimony that he had done nothing wrong and encouraged himself to trust the Lord for His deliverance. So mga friends, have you ever had that situation na kung saan nililiglig din ang inyong pagtitiwala sa Panginoon? Or maybe kayo mismo ay dumaranas ng ganong klaseng situation right now na nasusubok ang inyong pananampalataya sa Panginoon. Marahil hindi po eksakto ng kagaya ng kay David na situation, but a situation wherein you are pushed to doubt the Lord. What areas in your life ngayon that you are tempted to distrust God? Maybe past days, may mga injustices din na nararanasan ninyo sa inyong mga trabaho. Injustices maybe in a form na pinagsasamantala ng kabaitan nyo. Or maybe not even sa trabaho, maybe even sa family. Maybe right now, sa inyong marriage, ay sinusubok kayo. That a spouse is hurt by the actions ng kanyang mga asawa, ng kanyang asawa. Or maybe dumaranas kayo ng physical afflictions ngayon. Na meron kayong pinagdadaanan na physical affliction na sa tingin nyo ay wala nang lunas. What can you do? Clearly that there is a temptation to distrust the Lord. But the psalmist shifts his attention away from this crisis and has fixed his gaze towards heaven, towards the Lord. Ang basis ng kanyang confidence, which is ito po yung point number 2 natin. The reasons to trust the Lord. Verse 4 to 7. So verse 4 tells us that the psalmist now focuses the source of his unwavering confidence. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heavens. Why would David declare this? David understands that despite the pressure of this crisis or difficulty ng kanyang situation, among stress sa buhay niya, the Lord is there in His heavenly kingdom. David is acknowledging that God is sovereign over all creation. The Lord has power and authority. He is declaring that God's rule and power is limitless. The psalmist also recognizes that the Lord is the ultimate judge, for His throne is in the heaven. The one sitting on it is the supreme ruler of the world. He is the creator of all, that He cannot be contained in an establishment or building na gawa ng tao. For thus says the Lord, sabi po sa Isaiah 66 verse 1 to 2, Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you will build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. So whenever the Israelites will sing, they will be reminded of the awesomeness ng Panginoon. Whenever they sing this passage, this psalm in their temple courts, they will be reminded that their temple is but a doorway of the heavenly dwelling ng Panginoon. And that His heavenly throne is a sacred sanctuary for those who are oppressed, for those who are afflicted, for those who are taken advantage of, mistreated, abused, for the persecuted, even for those who seek reconciliation and forgiveness sa Panginoon. That all our worries and cares are taken care of by the one who is seated on his heavenly throne. Friends, hindi po ba sapat na ito para pagtiwalaan ng ating Panginoon? Hindi po ba sapat na ito upang tayo ay manalig sa Kanya? Meron po tayong mental acknowledgement about God, who He is. But when trials grew stronger, physical afflictions palala ng palala, guilt and shame unbearable, conflicts in our relationship become too much, we forget what we know about God. We tend to lose ang ating pagtitiwala sa Panginoon. We tend to lose hope. We lose our peace, our strength, and our joy. David knew that what to do in this difficult situation or dark moments ng kanyang buhay. In his darker times, he borrowed his light in heaven, from heaven. His confidence resided in the Lord. Some would assume that the Lord is distant or idle, na walang ginagawa or walang pakialam. But not to David. We also read ang karugtong ng verse na to, ng passage na to, ng verse 4, that the Lord, His eyes see, His eyelids test the children of men. So dito po sa Dubai, dumarami na po ang mga cameras. They all come in different styles and functions. Ito pong tinutukoy ko na camera, these are the cameras na nanguhuli po ng mga nag-o-overspeeding na sasakyan. So some are designed to capture the image of vehicles na nag-overspeed. Yung ibang mga cameras naman, they are designed to capture those that are swerving sa if they miss the exit. Lalo na pag nagmamadali na namintisan nilang exit, may isang naka-station na camera. Or even yung mga CCTVs na naka-install sa mga malls, sa mga public areas, gaya po ng sa Gold Souk. Ano pong mga silbi nito? These functions as para ma-monitor ng government ang publiko so that they could easily respond kung may kaguluhan. Or kaguluhan for the safety and protection ng people dito sa UAE. Similarly, the Lord continuously watches over His creation. He governs it according to His good purposes. And His eyelids test the children of men. Or in other translations, His eyes examines them. Ano po ang sinasabi ni David dito? Ito po medyo nahirapan po akong maghanap ng illustration, pero napakasimple lang po pala ng ibig niya sabihin. Gaya po natin, minsan may tinitingnan po tayo na napakaliit na bagay na we have to narrow our eyelids para makita natin siya ng maigi. Yun po yung sinasabi ng scripture na the Lord narrows down His eyelids in His creation. No? Mankind is under the inescapable gaze of our God. Not even ang bubungan na to that would hide our presence from Him. The Lord sees us always. He never removes His eyes on us. Ito po ay sapat na for David to place his confidence in the Lord. The Lord is well aware of his situation. Alam ng Panginoon ang mga panganib sa buhay ni David. Then what reason for him na lumipad na parang isang ibon? Ang Panginoon ay hindi lamang siya isang tagamasid, but made a clear distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. So verse 5, the Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. The Lord tests the righteous. He does not hate them, but tests them.
He loves them that He puts them to the test, like refining gold to remove its impurities para mas lalong tumaas at gumanda ang qualities nito. So trials in life of a child of God are some of the ways that God uses to strengthen one's faith, to magnify God's glory, to experience God's love, and to see God's grace flourish sa buhay niya. Sabi sa binasa natin kanina sa James chapter 1 verse 12 to 13, Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who loved Him. Even si Charles Spurgeon, sabi po niya, and I quote, They, the righteous, are precious to God, to the Lord, and therefore He refines them with affliction. None of the Lord's children may hope to escape from trial, nor, indeed, in our right minds, would any of us desire to do so, for trial is the channel of many blessings. Not only the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, but also His eyes on the wicked. His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. The Lord hates the wicked. Sa anong kailangan pang ikatakot ni David upang siya ay tumakas? The Lord hates them with passion. And David understands kung ano ang kahinatnan ng mga wicked. Verse 6, Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. David had in mind ang isang event na kung saan the Lord poured out His judgment from heaven. Sabi po sa Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 to 25, Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. In this short exhortation of God's judgment, we see the psalmist's confidence in the Lord na hindi na niya kailangan pang ilagay ang hustisya sa kanyang mga kamay. And David pictured God as the Lord of hosts who gives portion to His subjects. Fire and sulfur and scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. Ano po ang ibig sabihin ni David dito na the scorching wind is a portion of their cup or fire and sulfur? So, kanina lang po na papunta po kami ng dito sa deck bago po kami umalis ng building. Yung sasakyan po namin ay nasiraan po ng AC. Just imagine po na during summer, ang kotse mo sira ang AC. Going to a place na ang travel time is more than 30 minutes, yun na yata ang experience namin sa judgment ng Panginoon. No, we have to endure yung init na yun habang inaantay namin yung kaibigan namin. Hindi kami nakikibuan sa loob ng sasakyan. Si nanay, inaaliw na lang yung kanyang sarili para wag pansinin ang sobrang init na yon. So habang nananakbo kami, ramdam namin yung init ng AC. So hindi namin alam kung papatayin ba namin yung AC or ibababa ang bintana, yun na lang ang papasukin namin. Either way, parehas na mainit. Wala kaming choice na kung ano ang gagawin namin. So, ang pakiramdam is, it's like 45 degrees, pero parang nasa 59 degrees siya kanina. So, imagine that. Imagine yung ganong klaseng init. Magnify that for a thousand times or more. Ganon po yung judgment na paparating at nakalaan for the wicked. I know it is hard to imagine that the God of the Bible has so much hatred towards the wicked. David gives us the reasons of verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. The Lord is righteous. David knows kung kanino nakaangkla ang kanyang confidence. Kung kanino nakaangkla ang kanyang pananampalataya. Anything that is contrary sa kanyang righteousness, the Lord hates. The Lord cannot and will not tolerate evil or wickedness, for it is a direct contrast sa kanyang nature. It is God's office to defend it, and it is His nature to love it. If He does not defend His righteousness, He will be denying Himself. We have been talking about ngayon the theme of righteous and the wicked. Ngayon, who can say then that they are among the righteous? Sino po makakapagsabi sa atin ngayon na we are among the righteous? Where in fact, the scripture says sa Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Lahat po tayo ay makasalanan. We know that even si David ay nahulog sa kasalanan. Is there a hope para sa atin ngayon? Yes, meron pong hope. There is hope, for there is a man who, like David, faced death threats sa kanyang buhay. He had faced murderous schemes to kill him, but he delights to do the Father's will, lived a perfect life in line with the Father's righteousness, died on the cross to glorify his Father. And on that cross, the judgment of God was poured out on him. And on the third day, God raised him up from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sit at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for his people. This is Jesus Christ the righteous. Jesus Christ drank the bitter cup of judgment of God for you and me, that whosoever believes in him and put their faith and trust in him shall not be punished, but will forever behold his face. Friends, repent from your sins. Magsisi at talikuran natin ang ating kasalanan. Trust in the Lord for your salvation. Gaya ni David, we can trust the Lord for deliverance. So taking refuge in the Lord is not a passive thing na wala tayong gagawin. We can take this opportunity to turn to God. Turn to God. We can turn to God in Christ, that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize to us and he is interceding for us. Turn to Jesus Christ for comfort in the most difficult times. We can also take this opportunity to think about God. Meditate on His Word. In all our busyness, in the fast pace ng buhay natin dito sa Dubai, when is the last time that you opened your Bible and meditate His Word? How can we trust God if we don't know His Word? How can we trust God if we don't know who He is? We need His life-giving Word. We also can take this opportunity by talking to God. Pray, especially when Satan whispers into our ears to flee to your mountain. Pray to God that He will supply you with strength to resist the devil and his schemes. Another is, talk to His people. Talk to His people. If you are in need to share your burden, share it to others, share it to the people of God, or even share it sa inyong mga elders. We are not the perfect counselor, but we could help you, and we could point you to the great counselor. Fifth is, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for His grace that He had lavishly poured into Christ, so that our union in Christ, we have our blessed hope in this life and the life to come. Lastly, trust in God. Trust in God in Jesus Christ. For we can be sure that in all our situation, the Lord is righteous and sovereign. We can take refuge in Him. Tayo po ay manalangin. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your promise. Thank You that there will be a day that we will behold Your face and that we will face You unashamed. For those who have been made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the provisions that You have made for our sins. I pray, Lord, that may You help us. May we flee from the wrath to come. May we take eternity more seriously. May we run to You and You find safety and eternally refuge in Christ. Ito po ang dalangin namin in Jesus' name. Amen.